Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Coming to you from the sunny, smoggy City of Angels. Hopefully you're getting ready to have a great sports weekend. The PGA Championship is being played, although most people couldn't see the low scores being thrown up. We got some day baseball at places like Wrigley Field. We got some tennis on TV. We got breaking news in the NFL. We got so much to get to. Chris Archer, new Pirate pitcher, will join us upcoming in 15 minutes. James Jones, who of course played for the Packers, also played for the Raiders, will join us next hour. Matt Olson's going to join us. We sure? Are you going to tell me if he's not going to join us earlier than like a minute before he's going to join us? Okay. And Alan Shipnuck's going to join us as well from in regards to golf. I love how you labeled Alan Shipnuck golf. Like, well, who does he work for is a better tease. Alan Shipnuck, who is actually excellent at covering the world of golf. He'll join us from Belle Reve, which is near St. Louis, sort of. Near St. Louis, he'll join us later on in the show. So we got a metric ton to get to. I won't freak out about preseason. So I tell myself every year when I watch preseason football. Last night was a great night. My wife is out of town gathering up two of my children from summer camp. I have one of my daughters and my mother-in-law, and we had a home game. We did the Chargers camp. You missed some of our conversations with people like Philip Rivers yesterday. You can check them out on our Instagram page, at Gottlieb Show, Twitter, at Gottlieb Show, or go to foxsportsradio.com, download the interviews in their entirety. But I got home, it was really early, and I flip on the TV, and I got to watch a ton of football. So I'm not saying that I didn't watch. I watched a lot. But this idea that, oh man, we learned so much. Baker good, Lamar bad, right? The idea that last night completely changed how we look at things. So much of it's based upon your perspective. I love the idea that Baker Mayfield is the underdog in this thing. At Baker Mayfield. Now, you can say that Baker Mayfield was an underdog when he walked on at Tech, turning down lower-level scholarship offers. Or that he continued to be an underdog when he walked away from Tech and walked on at Oklahoma, only to then win the Heisman Trophy and be a finalist a couple times over. Right. But I hate to break this to you. In spite of the fact that he's 6 feet tall and he looks at most 6 feet tall out there, Baker Mayfield's the Heisman Trophy winner. He played for Oklahoma. And he was the number one pick of the NFL draft. I don't know how you judge underdogs, but that ain't one by my estimation. Again, that doesn't take away from what he accomplished last night or what he's accomplished throughout his college career. But this idea that, well, he's an underdog, as opposed to Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor's playing on his third NFL team. His last NFL team, he led to the playoffs, ending the longest playoff drought in the NFL. And oh yeah, by the way, he got benched midseason for a game. So not only they sneak into the playoffs by the hair of their chinny chin chin, but they actually dumped a game by dumping him. He's on his third team. He's a former sixth round pick. He's essentially on a 1+1 type deal. And he didn't throw an incomplete pass last night. Now, that doesn't mean that he has more upside. That doesn't mean that he's going to start the whole season, nor does it look like he'll start the start of the regular season. But the irony to it is that Baker Mayfield is the underdog as the Heisman Trophy winner and the number one overall pick, as opposed to the veteran vagabond who's in his third stop and just led the Bills to the playoffs. They had no problem with him walking out the door. He's a former sixth-round pick, and he didn't throw an incomplete pass. Now, if you want to get down to Baker, thought he looked really good. Right? He looked like Baker Mayfield. He moves around back there. He's got a high football IQ. He's very accurate. Does he have the big arm strength? Don't know. Is he a good enough athlete to make up for his lack of size and for his use of mobility? Don't totally know. But Baker Mayfield was everything we told you he was going to be, everything we thought he was going to be, and he looked like what the Browns wanted to draft. Right? A very competent, ready-to-play, accurate quarterback who led and understood how to compete right away in the National Football League. The fifth-year senior, with all of those reps, starting five games at Tech and starting every game the last three years at Oklahoma, he better be ready to play. The juxtaposition is that with Lamar Jackson, who at times looked really athletic. At times you start to realize, hey, NFL linebackers can chase him down. And was erratic at best at throwing the football. I'd love to overreact and tell you Lamar Jackson isn't a starting quarterback in the NFL, but there's a reason that Lamar Jackson was around after all those other quarterbacks had gone. Because he's not accurate enough or pocket ready enough to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. What'd you learn last night? Nothing. Nothing. Really nothing. What it is what we call first person syndrome. And on some level, we all have it. I told you guys a story months back about when I was in Stillwater, Oklahoma. This is the late spring of 1998. And I went to a place called Hastings. Hastings was a chain in that part of the country that used to sell CDs and DVDs. And I happened upon an album called The Dixie Chicks. And I just thought it looked like a cool group, cool idea, cool name. And so I picked up the album, The Dixie Chicks, not knowing anything about it, played it. I was super into country music at the time. And I was like, man, I'm the first person in Stillwater, Oklahoma to pick up. I'm the first person ever to I have discovered The Dixie Chicks. My brother has first-person syndrome on Hootie and the Blowfish. On Ames, Iowa, winter of 1994-95, I think it was sometime in like, or maybe it was 93, I think it was 93, he's in Des Moines, Iowa, he's a walk-on at Drake, he goes to Ames, Iowa for a concert because he wants to see Big Head Todd and the Monsters, and the group that opened up for Big Head Todd was Hootie and the Blowfish, and he literally went out to a payphone and called me and said, hey, I just heard an awesome group, Hootie and the Blowfish, and to this day, I'm friends now with Darius Rucker. Going to see him when he comes in town in a week and a half here. To this day, my brother claims to be the first person related to anyone in Southern California that knew and liked and found and discovered Hootie and the Blowfish. That's what people wanted to be last night. They wanted to be the guy that called it. Hey, Baker Mayfield's a stud. He's a Pro Bowler. The Browns have found their quarterback. Or you want to be the guy that calls it and says, Lamar Jackson is too erratic. He's not that big. He'll never be a starting quarterback. That's what we want to be. That's what we want to be. Look, I thought Flacco looked good. He moved a lot better than he had moved in previous years. Of course, the knee and the back have been problematic. But Tyrod Taylor looked good. I do think eventually Baker is going to start. The problem with starting Baker right away is once he starts, you can't pull him. Can't pull him. And Hugh Jackson's trying to keep his job. The best way to keep his job is, hey, win a couple games early before you play the kid. But it got a lot harder last night against the backups of the Baltimore Ravens. I watched a metric ton of football. And watching rookies against backups and third stringers does not always tell you the tale. Here, if you are a Lamar Jackson guy, and I am not, here's where you should be concerned. That was his second game against NFL players. In addition to it, they had had a week practicing against NFL players, and he just did not look great. Is he getting more comfortable? A little bit, but he is not processing the way that you're supposed to process those reads and information, like if you watch Baker Mayfield. When the pressure comes, you step up, you know exactly what the read is, what the next read is, and be able to find it. Instead, they're using him as a running quarterback, which is going to get him hurt, which is smart to get him on the field early, right? Put him in, let him run around, challenge the defense, 11 on 11. But man, does he look far? He looks far further away than most people thought. He's about where I thought. But this idea that we learned so much, what, you didn't know Baker Mayfield was deadly accurate? You didn't know that he could lead? You didn't know that he was bright? Have you not been paying attention?
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, Kelvin Benjamin said, remember in a recent interview, that he didn't feel like he was a good fit for the Panthers. And he said, quote, if you'd put me with any other quarterback, he would have had a better run. Cam Newton said he wouldn't go back and forth with Kelvin Benjamin in a public response. He didn't talk to reporters after the game, but everybody noticed that before the game, Cam Newton came up to Kelvin Benjamin and wanted to have a discussion with him, to which Kelvin Benjamin clearly wanted no part of the discussion. Here's Benjamin after the game.
Tried to walk away from him a few times.
Yeah, just moving on from
him. He didn't want to get into it.
So. Yeah.
What was he trying to say to you?
He didn't know how much he was trying to listen.
Yeah. This is going to sound like in sports radio, you're supposed to say, somehow we're supposed to say, like, this guy's awesome. That guy sucks. It was odd timing for Kelvin Benjamin to say that about Cam Newton. I don't think that anything he said, anybody outside of Charlotte would disagree with. The place that it missed was there was no accountability from his own side. It wasn't like, hey, if I would have been working with a different quarterback, he just wasn't accurate. It wasn't a great fit. And you know what? At times I was heavy. You know, I hurt my knee. They went to the Super Bowl. There was just none of it. You have to start on some point and say, hey, some of it's on me. You can't put it all on Cam Newton, which is what he did. The other thing is, if you're going to call out Cam Newton before you play against Cam Newton, you have to know he's going to come over. Somebody's going to come over and say something about it and have a discussion about it. Even if that discussion is, Cam, look, I said what I said because I meant what I said. I'm sorry if it hurts your feelings. That's how I feel. And look, I don't blame Cam. I actually like what Cam Newton did. Yo, you're talking trash about me? I'm not going to talk trash back in the media. Just go back and confront you. Like, why would you do that? Why would you say that? I thought we were boys. Do I think Cam Newton's a bit of a phony? Of course. Of course. He's really, really concerned about his image instead of, should be concerned about his accuracy. But I think in this particular case, I don't have a problem with how he handled it. And I only wish that Kelvin Benjamin, look, dude, if you're going to call out a guy and say he's the one quarterback in the NFL that was a bad fit for you because he wasn't good enough, he wasn't accurate enough, he wasn't smart enough, you got to, on some level, be willing to face the music. This is a little bit like what we saw from C.J. McCollum, right? Like, look, if you have Kevin Durant on your podcast and you think his move to the Warriors was a little soft, you got to tell him as such and give him a chance to respond.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Chris Archer joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show. Tampa wasn't that bad, but like, look, when there's like 5,000 people a night and you're in that division, it was pretty hard. What's it feel like to get traded to a legit contender?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on today. sorry I'm so late. This is not Jimmy T's fault. This is completely my fault. But I love being in Pittsburgh. The reception that I got from the fans, my teammates, my new coaches, the whole organization, it feels like I'm a part of something really, really special here. And my time in Tampa was awesome. It was a great place for me to start my career. Had some great fans over there too. Even though it was definitely more intimate, we didn't have a ton of people at the games, but a lot of people watched, and we do appreciate that. But now being in a legitimate sports town with three sports that all the people love, it's something special, and I can't wait to be part of it for years to come.
Yeah, you throwing Wiz Khalifa on like when you're rolling to the ballpark now? You're like, yeah, black and yellow.
Oh, right, huh? I downloaded like three or four Wiz albums. I was listening to it on the flights and on my way to the airport, hotel, everything. Yes, sir.
Chris Archer joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. You go out and you get your first win as a Bucco against the Colorado Rockies, who have a ridiculous lineup, and it's in Coors. Had you pitched in Coors before?
Yes, sir. I pitched there a couple years ago. It's definitely different, but you know, with the defense that we put out there, I felt super comfortable. And I pitched the contact and put the ball on the ground enough. One ball got out of the yard, but fortunately we scored enough runs to win. And, man, that's all that matters. I want to be a part of a lot of team wins over these next couple years and bring something special back to Pittsburgh baseball.
How do you is there something that you need to do that you've identified to get you back to the dynamic pitcher of a couple years ago? Like, it's not that far off, but, like, let's be honest. Like, you were seen as, hey, he's going to be the next guy for the next decade, and now ERA, you know, in the fours, you're not in the mid to low threes the way you were. Is there something you've been able to identify that's going to get you back to that level?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of deeper statistics that we judge ourselves by. We're not only on the surface, because it can be a little misleading. But without a doubt, can I be better than I have been this past season? Yes. But if you look at my season as a whole, I started the month of April terrible. No excuse. I just didn't execute pitches. I was giving up too many homers. I wasn't putting people away. But since April, I've pitched a lot more like myself. The pitching coach here, Ray, is amazing. Francisco Cervelli, our starting catcher, is unbelievable. Even our backup catcher is really good. Diaz, he's really good too. So I think, you know, just a little bit of change of scenery, trusting what these guys have to offer from the coaching standpoint and from the catching standpoint of Cervelli being a veteran. I think we're going to see the surface level numbers come back into play a little bit and get a lot more wins. Like I said, all I care about is winning games. If my ERA is a little bit higher, I don't care. If my ERA is super low, like, I don't care. I just want to win games.
I hear you. Chris Archer joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. You mentioned your pitching coach, Ray, but it did sound like you didn't remember his last name. Like, how many guys that are in that, when you got there and pitched, do you know everybody? Or do you, like, do you give the head, hey, what's up, man? Do you know everybody?
Hey.
Because, listen.
Why are you trying to call me out?
Because September.
Ray Searidge. All right, Ray Searidge, okay? But nah, hey, it's tough. It's tough.
Like, do you want me to go around and make sure you know, like, you got Freeze over at first base, right? Like, you want to go around the dime? You know, honestly, you walk into, what's that like when you've been in one place and everybody, look, you're an identifiable face, right? You're not only because you've been an all-star, because you've covered the playoffs on TV as an analyst. Right, so when you walk in and, you know, your hair, your look, it's different. Everybody knows you, but you don't know everybody. What's that actually like?
Look, it's different, but I have been here a little over a week now. I pretty much know everybody's first name. I can go around the diamond if I really needed to. I don't think that's necessary.
You mess with me a little bit.
Yeah, no, hey, it's different. But, you know, it's something that I'm fully embracing. I take pride in being a good teammate. So getting to know a little bit about everybody, it's going to take a little bit of time. But we have a bunch of great dudes. The way the pitching staff embraced me when I first got here, before I even got here, They're making videos and sending me pictures via social media, reaching out, getting my phone number through mutual connections. It's been special. And the pitching staff here reminds me a lot of the pitching staffs we had in Tampa in 12, 13, and 14. And, you know, I don't know if the listeners are too familiar, but we had a lot of success in that time, and it came due to pitching and defense. And I foresee a lot of the same things here in Pittsburgh.
And no question. People forget how good the Rays were. They only, you know, we have a recency bias. We only pay attention to the past couple years. What was the fewest number of people, though, that you went out on the mound and you're like, are you kidding me? Come on, man. You're out of Tampa.
You guys are funny.
What was the fewest?
You guys are funny.
Huh?
Hey, look, I'll say this, man. Baseball in the summer was the number one viewed television program in that area. So I don't like to knock those fans too much, because the ones that we have are super passionate. It's an older demographic, so they can't make it to the game. There's a heavy influx of people from the Northeast, so they did come support
other teams
when we played other teams. Yeah. But, you know, it was kind of bare, and it was in the stands. I'll tell you this. At PNC, my first game, bases loaded, and Paul DeJong up, them chanting my name, 3-2 count, like, that gave me life. And it's something that I haven't experienced a whole lot. And I'm looking forward to more and more of that at PNC the rest of this year.
Yeah, Cubs coming to town coming up. I'm sure that place is going to be absolutely alive. You can go to archwayfoundation.com. That's Chris's foundation from his hometown of Clayton, North Carolina, to teach youth the legacy they leave behind. Not one of fame and fortune. I know so many causes are so near and dear to your heart. We really appreciate you joining us and having a good sense of humor about it. We won't hold against you. You're late. That's no big deal. You're a busy guy. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy San Fran.
Yes. Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. That's Chris Archer. He's a good dude. Great player.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm old enough to remember when people thought that lifting weights would hurt your jump shot. I'm old enough to remember when people thought that lifting weights would hurt quarterbacks. I'm old enough to remember how people used to look at weightlifting. Look, I'm old enough to remember, and many of you are as well, the night before a game. Ryan Music was an athlete in college, an athlete in high school. Comes from an athletic family. But he's only in his late 20s. So I don't know if you experienced this, but when I was in high school, you used to carb load the night before a big sporting event.
Pasta dinners, Doug.
Huh? We used to go to Olive Garden. Dude, we used to crush some Olive Garden, right? Go to the OG, breadsticks, yes, please. Salad, sure. Pasta, load it up. Load it up.
You need all of that extra energy for the next day, Doug.
Correct. That's what marathon runners used to carb load, carb load, carb load, carb load. When late in my high school career, I worked with, you know, Todd Mernovich, the former first round pick of the Oakland Raiders. Okay. His dad, Marv, was my strength and conditioning guru coach. He turned me on to a book called about the Zone Diet. And the Zone Diet was one of the diets that basically people do now, right? There's keto now, there's South Beach diet, whatever. The idea of eliminating complex carbohydrates. It went counter to what everyone thought at the time, right? You need more energy. Well, then you put more carbs in your body because carbs are energy, right? You don't want fat. Fat, bad. Energy, good. Low fat, lean protein, high carbohydrate diet. The Zone Diet was 40% carbs, but it was natural carbs, fruits, vegetables, certain types of fruits and vegetables. It was 30% protein and 30% good fats. mono and polyunsaturated fats, things like avocados, olive oil, nuts. And this diet would level off your glycemic index, right? It was really designed in many ways for people who are pre-diabetic. Because what happens is, they found out that when you eat carbohydrates, your blood reacts very, very similarly to when you have a candy bar. It spikes up, and then you get the sugar low, right? Whereas if you put an even balance of natural carbs, lean proteins, and quality, you know, and in natural fats into your diet, you're going to have a level, you know, you're not going to have the spikes, the peaks and the valleys in terms of your energy level for longer. I remember when that was crazy. Okay. So when I heard the Dan Patrick Show earlier today, I basically heard, yesterday. I heard Randall Chamblee, who's a former golfer, or is a golfer, and an opinionated one as well, say this.
I'll finish this, though, Brandel. If Tiger doesn't lift weights,
He would have won 20-plus major championships and 100-plus events. He would be hitting the ball right now, probably as long or longer than anybody on the PGA Tour. You know, when he played, think about this. In 1996, he played in the Masters, and he averaged 340 yards off of the tee. The next year, when he won by 12, he averaged 320 yards off of the tee. Now, he was longest by 46 yards in 96 and 20 yards in 97. Think about that. And that was before the solid core golf ball. Nobody's averaged that with the solid core golf ball, and nobody's averaged that with 45-inch driver. He was playing a 43.5-inch driver with a wound golf ball, and he was averaging 346 and 320. He was longest by 46 and 20 yards. And when he started working out, and he still managed to win the Masters, obviously, in 2000, 2001, 2005, but he was averaging along the lines of 290, 280, never sniffed what he was averaging when he was a kid.
So what Randall Chamblee believes is, his belief is that, and this is, a lot of people believe this, is, you know, he lost his flexibility. And the flexibility creates that torque, and that torque creates that distance. And because he got too muscle bound. Now, look, because there's no control group there, it's an impossible argument to make definitively. But the idea that Tiger Woods would have been hitting the ball just as long or longer into his 30s without weight training goes counter to everything we've seen in golf. He's not Dustin Johnson. He's not that big a dude. His swing is not that long. It's just not. And while he did have an incredible amount of torque and power and club head speed that was generated before he was a big-time weightlifter, there's two parts to it. One, it's not that you lift, it's how you lift. Michael Jordan lifted every day. But then he would stretch, and then he would work out, and then he would shoot at his own gym at his house every day. Watch his body. It's a sport where you need flexibility, dexterity. There was the idea you couldn't be a good jump shooter if you lifted weights. Has Steph Curry gotten to be a better or worse jump shooter as he's added muscle, which is obvious? He's added muscle. Has LeBron James become a better? Look, now, did LeBron James, a little bit of Tiger Woods where they got a little bit stiff in the hip, and may have fallen too in love with the weight room. But the idea that weightlifting is bad, look, he was creating so much torque, he was going to get hurt regardless. And all of that core training that he did kept him from getting hurt earlier in many ways. It's not a unique philosophy. It is a dated one, though. That, hey, you're crushing the ball when you're 22 years old, right? When he first won the Masters. In 2000, he was 25 years old. The idea that you're going to be driving the ball at the same distance or close to the same distance in your mid-30s as you did in your mid-20s if you don't lift a weight is classic old school golf guy.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The only man to ever play and play well in the NFL with a hoodie on underneath his jersey is, of course, an analyst for the NFL Network and a really, really good one. Played for the most known, I think, for his time with the Packers. Did spend a year with the Raiders, some time with the Giants and the Chargers. He's James Jones. He joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show, a Super Bowl champion and NFL Network analyst. I guess summer you don't have to break out the hoodie, but it isn't football season until we see a James Jones hoodie, right?
Absolutely, man. I mean, it's a little too early right now. We got some very good weather going on while these games is being played now, but you better believe, yeah, once the winter kicks in, it's time for hoodie season.
So what should we really take from preseason? You know, because we watch and we get excited, and we want to be measured about. We don't know, you know, are they going against starters? Are they going against backups? Are they going against, you know, base defense? Are they really sending people? What's as a fan, not as a guy, as a civilian, as opposed to an expert like you, what should we take away from the preseason?
Well, as a fan for your team, what you should take away from the preseason is, if they're playing well, people need to understand, even though it's preseason, you gain confidence. You know, you gain confidence in playing well in the preseason, and that can roll over, you know, to the regular season. You know, no matter who you playing, no matter if it's a four string, no matter if it's one series as the starters play, you know, you gain confidence if you go out there and play well. Like, when the season comes along, can't nobody stop us. Even though it was preseason, you gain that confidence as you keep playing these games. So I think that's the biggest thing people need to understand, that preseason. You want to go out there and play well. You don't want to go out there, even as a starter, stink it up and think week one come, we're just going to play lights out.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. That said, Baker Mayfield gained some confidence. Now, Tyrod Taylor looked good as well. But what are your thoughts on the number one overall pick and how he played last night for the Cleveland Browns?
Man, I really loved what Baker did, man. And it's not even the stats and, you know, him throwing the ball all over the field. He looked calm. He looked like, this is what I do. This is what I'm here for. It's nothing that you guys can do to me that's going to mess my mind up or that's going to take my confidence away. And some of the throws, man, he was stepping up in the pocket, you know, delivering the ball down the field. You know, as a young guy, you know, sometimes you get in these games and the lights are on and, you know, people start flying around your feet. You know, the first thing you want to do is take off and run. He was super calm in the pocket. He was taking care of the ball. And he looked composed, and he looked like, man, the moment is not too big for me. And that's what you want out of a young quarterback.
No question. I thought the opposite of Lamar Jackson, and it was Lamar's second time facing the live bullets of the NFL. I still feel like his default is to run, and even when he throws in the run, he's not setting his feet. Do you feel? Am I missing something on Lamar Jackson, or I feel like he's got a lot of developing to do before he's ready?
Yeah, throwing the ball inside the pocket and setting your feet and throwing, yes, he has a lot of work to do. But let's be honest. I mean, that's really not what he did in college neither. So what we're seeing from Lamar Jackson right now is the same thing that we've seen him do in college. You know, he wasn't a special passer in the pocket, but he's an unbelievable playmaker. And that's what we're seeing from him right now on the field. And what I love about Lamar Jackson is you can tell from game one to two that the game is slowing down for him. And he's starting to understand, you know, what defenses are doing and, you know, how to pick up blitzes and all and things like that. But you could tell as he plays, even though he run first, you could tell before he's about to run, you could tell he's calm, he's looking downfield, and you could tell the game is slowing down for him. So, yes, I mean, as his career gets going, I mean, he's going to have to develop, you know, throwing the ball in the pocket. And things like that. But right now I love what I see from him because he's explosive and he brings a different element to the game, and defensive coordinators got to account for his legs.
Can you help me out with what's going on with the Raiders? I mean, it just seems – look, I know that Gruden can coach, and I think he has a great passion for the game. I think eventually it'll work out. But they took a lot of chances, not just with the draft, but also with some of the guys – you know, that they signed, heck, trading even for Martavis Bryant, considering, you know, he's one slip up away from being back out of the NFL. There seems to be something, it has not been a smooth transition for him. What are your thoughts on year one of Gruden back with the Raiders?
Well, I got it last couple of days, man, and I think this team right here is built to win right now. I mean, I know that, you know, Khalil Mack is not there, but if they're able to get a Khalil Mack back in that building, but just being on the practice field, they are playing with so much energy, so much passion, especially on defense. I mean, everybody's flying around. You could tell that they expect to win out there. They expect nobody to score on them. Yeah, I know the defense struggled last year, but it's a different type energy out there right now that Gruden brings. And then on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, Martavis Bryant is a special talent that we really don't have a lot of in our league. You're talking about a dude that's every bit of 6'5", I mean, could fly down the field. I mean, explosive plays. I was there, man. He caught two deep balls, and he looked like Randy Moss. I mean, just explosive plays, you know. And then you get Marshawn Lynch and Doug Martin. If you could get them rolling behind that big-time offensive line. And obviously, I've been saying Derek Carr for MVP because I believe that with Greg Olsen there, him being his OC, I think that's a special combination. So the Oakland Raiders, to me, is going to surprise some teams, you know, because, like I said, they playing with a lot of passion, they flying around, and they do got a lot of weapons. So it'll be interesting to see how the season unfolds for the Raiders.
You obviously played with Aaron Rodgers two different stints. There's been a lot of discussions about how he purports himself. What's he really like to play with? What's from a guy who won a Super Bowl and you've played with a bunch of good quarterbacks, what's it really like to play with Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers is probably one of the best teammates that I've ever been around, man. And it's not even just on the field, it's off the field as well, man. He's a heck of a quarterback. He's a heck of a leader. But, I mean, he cares about his teammates, man. He cares about what they think about him. He wants to be a great teammate. Everybody knows what he's going to bring to the football field. I mean, he's the best player in the world. But, I mean, he's an unbelievable teammate. And beyond that, like I tell everybody, he is a competitor. He wants every throw to be perfect in practice. He wants every throw to be perfect in walkthrough. He wants every throw to be perfect in warm-ups before the game. He is a perfectionist, and that rubs off on the team, man. So my time with Aaron Rodgers, man, my 8 years with him, man, were unbelievable. But, I mean, not only a special talent, man, but he a heck of a teammate as well.
You mentioned you've been hanging out with the Raiders, that they take on the Lions. Look, this is a team. Stafford makes a ton of money, and they've really lacked a running game. They haven't been a complete team. Now you have a regime change, a coaching change. What are your thoughts on the Lions?
Man, I actually like the Lions, man. And I know everybody's saying, you know, the NFC North is a two-headed race, you know, with Minnesota and Green Bay. But I keep telling people, do not sleep on the Lions, because one of the big things about the Lions, man, was they couldn't finish games. You know, they couldn't run the ball, couldn't finish games. And then you go and you draft the running back, and then you bring in LeGarrette Blount. You still got Riddick. And then you go on the defensive side of the ball, and you get a defensive-minded head coach. You know, that has been an Achilles heel. They could put up points with Matt Stafford, but they can't stop anybody. So then you bring Matt Patricia over there, who's a defensive-minded head coach, you know, to be able to get that defense right. And if that defense can play, we know this offense is going to put up points with Golden Tate and Marvin Jones. I mean, you got some playmakers. So it'll be interesting to see how this division unfolds, because Detroit is one of those teams that you do not want to sleep on.
James Jones joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. You've won a Super Bowl. I'm wondering about the challenges of coming back the next year. Here the Eagles are. They didn't even win it with their starting quarterback. But you know, you get celebrated as Super Bowl champions, you get told you got an incredible depth of talent. What are your thoughts on the challenges of trying to do it again when you're the Philadelphia Eagles?
Well, you got to understand, when you win the Super Bowl, the next year you come back, you're not sneaking up on nobody. Right. It's no surprises. So you better believe that you are going to get everybody's best shot. I remember the year after we won it and we came back that season, and, you know, we'll be watching film like, man, we are about to kill this team. And then you get out there on the field and you like, man, they are playing extremely hard. Or I didn't see this blitz. I didn't see this coverage. Like, what's going on? But you are the standard. You are the Super Bowl champion. So when these teams come and play you, they trying to measure themselves against you because you are the standard. You won the Super Bowl, so you're going to get their best shot. So the challenge to them is, are they going to be able to show up every week and be prepared to take everybody's best shot and to be able to go out there and play consistent football, you know, for 16 weeks? Because you are going to get the best effort from all these teams for 16 weeks when they see the Philadelphia Eagles on your schedule, because you are the champions.
No question about it. Great stuff. Great insight. James, look forward to talking to you more as the season rolls on. Check them out on the NFL Network. NFL Network has two preseason games live tonight. Falcons taking on the Jets. We'll see Sam Darnold. Lions, Raiders. So 7:30 Eastern time, 4:30 Pacific. You just turn on the NFL Network, and James Jones on Total Access at 7 p.m. most nights on the NFL Network. James, thanks for joining us, man.
Not a problem. Appreciate it.
Pleasure's mine. James Jones joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show.